Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Well, it turns out that Kamala Harris has another problem in Pennsylvania besides just the flip-flopping on fracking. She also has a problem with Pennsylvania Catholic voters. That's right. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli and streaming live on YouTube for your enjoyment and pleasure. That's right. So thank you for being part of the show in every way. We appreciate it very, very much. I want to play a clip for you. This is from Michigan. This is from CNN, far right wing CNN. By the way, that's sarcasm when I say that about the New York Times or CNN or the Washington Post. I'm not naming names. You didn't catch my sarcasm, but obviously. Anyway, this auto worker in Michigan, one of 1,100 people recently laid off by Stellantis. Now, this is because of the electric vehicle issue, and we've talked about this before. You need less workers to build EVs. So what has the government done? Well, Congress did not pass a law outlawing gas cars. The Environmental Protection Agency meddled, as usual, by coming up with rules and regulations. They promulgate these rules, and then if Congress doesn't like them, Congress has to pass a law to undo the rules passed by the executive. That is not how it's supposed to work in our system of government. Obviously, the legislative branch is supposed to pass laws. The executive is supposed to enforce them. In this country right now, the way we have it, it's so upside down, which is why we need Trump to win and Elon Musk to go in there and, yes, slash about 80% of the federal government. These regulatory agencies, even in the wake of the Chevron decision, still make rules. They promulgate rules. And so one of the things they've done is they've said with EVs, well, with cars, you got to have, you know, like 60 miles to the gallon fuel efficiency or whatever the hell it is, right? As a consequence of that, the automakers realize they have to transition over to EVs or they won't be able to comply with the EPA's mandates. So, in doing so, they need less workers. And companies are laying off auto workers as they transition their factories and their plants and the assembly lines to accommodate EVs. EVs don't have all of the same parts as a combustion engine, obviously. It's a battery. So you don't need a lot of the other parts, therefore you don't need as many workers. As a consequence of that, people are losing their jobs. And if you think for a second that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz don't want to see that, then you're not paying attention to what I started the show with today, which is that environmental kook spokesperson who came in and was like, you know who she is, wink, wink. All you young climate activists, you know who she is. Of course they're going to move forward with this. Their goal, the goal of the left, is to make the combustion engine illegal, whether they do it through law, executive action, or whatever. And they'll never do it by law because it would never pass. But they'll just regulate it to such a way that it will be impractical for companies to build them anymore. And auto workers are smart. They see this coming. They're not stupid. The left looks down on them and mocks them as being stupid, but they're not stupid. Here's a CNN report featuring John King. Cut number two.
Macomb County, Michigan. These suburbs just north of Detroit are a blue-collar bellwether. Joseph Knowles about to send a message, about to defy his union leadership, about to vote Republican for president for the first time, about to vote for Donald Trump.
And at this point now, I'm desperate. So I'm willing to try anything right now to make sure that I can fulfill my responsibility and to take care of my wife and kids. That's all I care about.
Knowles is a union auto worker, one of 1,100 just laid off by Stellantis, the parent company of Chrysler Jeep. He blames corporate greed the most, but doesn't stop there.
The second blame, I will put it on Joe Biden and the Democratic Party. Why? Because of the EV mandates. I thought the Democratic Party was for the working class, people, the average Joe like me. That's what I thought.
There are more American auto jobs now than at any point of the Trump presidency. But auto workers supporting Trump here echo his attacks on Biden's clean energy incentives and his claim illegal immigrants are to blame for lost jobs.
But if you do it the wrong way, I think you should get round up and just thrown out. I have no problem with that because it jeopardized my way of providing for my kids if they take jobs.
Knowles waves off friends who call Trump racist, says he doesn't believe Vice President Harris is up to the job, and he spars with family members who say he should stay a Democrat.
Oh, man, I took it from my mom, from my auntie, cousins, my sister. that came at me.
Yeah, they came at me, and that's it. You know, that's, I mean, look, I don't know what else to tell you. That guy is so emblematic of everything we're seeing throughout the country right now. He doesn't want to lose his job. He rejects the idea that Trump's a racist, despite, you know, everything he's heard in the media. And he wants to keep working. I'm not an idiot. The left thinks that they can fool this guy and get his vote by saying Trump's a racist and a threat to democracy, and then do a wink and a nod to the young white lefty climate change kids who don't give a damn about this man losing his job. They don't care if this guy loses his job and he can't feed his family. They can care less. Like, well, will we train him? Will we train him and let him do something he doesn't want to do with his life? Maybe he'll have to relocate his family, and that's okay, too. It's all about saving birthing person Earth. This is the problem here. And CNN is also underperforming with Latino voters as well. Here's NPR host Aisha Rasko on far-right-wing CNN, cut number three.
Kind of the jitters that are on the Democratic side is because that there's this feeling, and these polls are showing, that Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, is underperforming with Latino voters. And I think, you know, kind of what we've already talked about is Latino voters are not monolithic, right? And there are plenty of Latino voters who are concerned about the border, may want a stronger border, may look at, you know, the rhetoric that Trump has about, you know, immigrants or people coming over and say, that's not me. I did it the right way. They didn't do it the right way. And he has an economic message and a pro-business message and an anti-socialism message that can resonate with some Latinos.
Imagine that. And Kamala Harris has a problem with Catholics, too. A lot of Latinos are Catholics. Kamala Harris's Pennsylvania Catholic problem. Her San Francisco progressive persona isn't a good fit for Joe Biden's native state. Bill McGurn writing this piece for The Wall Street Journal. And it goes on to talk about how her most notorious Catholic moment came after she was elected senator. When Brian Boucher was nominated for a federal judgeship, she grilled him about his membership in the Knights of Columbus, a Catholic men's fraternal organization. Although President John F. Kennedy was also a knight, Ms. Harris treated the group as though it were the KKK. She would later, and it's funny, too, because Kennedy had to give a speech in West Virginia about, he had to clarify there were concerns back then in the 1960 election that he would take orders from the Pope. And he gave a great speech about religious freedom in West Virginia in 1960. Think of how far the Democrat Party has gone, that now if you're a Catholic judge and you're nominated for something, they'll grill you just because you're Catholic to make sure you're not too Catholic, like they did to Amy Coney Barrett, for example. She would later co-sponsor the Equality Act, which the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops said could force doctors and hospitals to perform abortions they oppose. Last month, she snubbed New York's Cardinal Timothy Dolan by declining to attend the Al Smith dinner, an election year staple that has brought Democrat and Republican candidates together in a civil setting for decades. Though Joe Biden has also found himself with the crosshairs of the Catholic Church on issues such as abortion and same-sex marriage, his Scranton, PA roots and familiarity with the culture meant he could overcome that. In 2020, Pew found he won the national Catholic vote 50-49%, which Hillary Clinton lost in 2016. That helped him flip Pennsylvania and win the election. Today, the landscape looks more like 2016 than 2020. A Pew survey finds Ms. Harris trailing Mr. Trump among Catholics nationwide by 5 points. 47-52%. That puts Harris in Clinton's territory. Here's something else, too, and this is another reason why I think it's really important, is let's not forget, too, the Little Sisters of the Poor and what Josh Shapiro did by going after them, what this administration did by going after them, too. Catholic Vote, a group that promotes Catholic values in public life, is highlighting the dissonance here of people like Kamala Harris. In addition to the usual ads, mailings, and social media posts, this Thursday it is hosting a conversation with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Mr. Kennedy is no one's idea of a staunch Catholic, but on abortion, for example, he departs from Democratic orthodoxy by talking about help for pregnant women who want to keep their babies as much as those who want an abortion. Saying Mr. Kennedy is offering skeptical Democrats social permission to follow his example by leaving the Democratic Party and voting Republican, says Catholic Vote President Brian Birch. Many Catholics in Pennsylvania are Democrats by tradition who might have voted for Joe Biden, but have grown increasingly skeptical about their party under Kamala Harris. And I'll tell you this as a dad who has two children who came to us by way of adoption. Kamala Harris going after these pregnancy crisis centers and something that this administration has done and something that whack job who runs the DOJ Office of Civil Rights going after these groups because they counsel women who don't want to have abortions and they give them alternatives like adoption, for example, and going after adoption, Catholic adoption agencies making their lives a living hell is something that Catholics also pay attention to as well. And then the snubbing of the Al Smith dinner was just a giant FU to them. And then the little skit mocking them, and it was all bad. But don't underestimate this fact, too, among the Catholic voters. And then there are a lot of Latino voters who are Catholic. And then there's a whole other aspect, too, which is people would send their kids to Catholic school because they don't want their kids indoctrinated in the public schools. And for a lot of them, they can afford it, but a lot of them can't. And a lot of Black voters and Latino voters would love to be able to send their kids to Catholic schools, even if they're not Catholic. But they're just really good private religious schools in the area, but they can't afford it. And the Republicans talking about school choice, which we've talked about many times on this show as being the civil rights issue of our times, is also something that appeals to Latino and Black voters. You don't have to be a Catholic to send your kids to Catholic school and want your kids to go to a better school and say, you know what, I'd rather be able to send my kids to this school then put them in the failing public school, but I can't afford it. Well, the Democrat Party is never going to allow you to have the ability to send your kid to a Catholic school or another Quaker school, whatever. I mean, whatever the orthodoxy is. But I'm just saying Catholic schools for a lot of people in a lot of these demographic areas serve as an alternative to the public school indoctrination. And if you're Latino and if you're Black and if you can't stand the indoctrination, but you don't have the economic means to be able to send your kids to those schools, don't look to Kamala Harris and the Democrat Party to save you. They stand with the teachers union. They don't stand with school choice, not at all. They fight school choice on every front. And Josh Shapiro is a fraud, too, because this is a guy who ran on school choice, then, of course, becomes governor, has statewide ambitions, and then completely abandons that. Abandons it and drops it right off the top. Trump talked about the Hispanic community. He did a video with Mario Rodriguez. And this was posted sometime earlier today. Let's go to cut number 6.
Mario Rodriguez. Mario. Thank you. Thank you. Oh. Thank you, Mario. Do you want to say something, Mario? Yeah. Go ahead.
I mean, Mr. President, it's amazing what you've done for the Hispanic community, and you are going to be rewarded handsomely for that.
Thank you. Well, we have... they've rewarded me already. You know, it actually, this love affair has been going on pretty much from the beginning. Now, 2016, it was a little early, but then I started producing for them, and they produce for the country because the level of genius, entrepreneurship, energy that they have, it's an incredible community, and I liked them, and they liked me, and now they're seeing numbers that are shocking. They're seeing numbers. This morning, the anchor was almost crying to say, what's going on over here? It's been a great relationship. Thanks a lot, Mario.
Been a great relationship. Thanks, Mario. There you go. It is. The other issues that came up today with Latino leaders at a roundtable, and I haven't even, and all the issues I've been talking about, I haven't even brought up illegal immigration, right? So the illegal immigration problem is something that runs the gamut. But let's think about Latino voters for a moment and think about the effects of illegal immigration and think of how they're hemorrhaging Latino voters. Trump talked about that today. All the children who are missing. Again, if you're a Latino and you want safe streets for your kids and you are a person of values and you think that children should not be sex slaves or being used for forced labor or just disappear or whatever else it is, you've got a real problem with that. The left will spend time trying to dispute these numbers, but don't forget it was the New York Times that first broke the story of at the time it was 85,000 children who were missing under this administration, just missing, just gone. Like, we don't know where they are. Cut number 4.
You bring up something that people don't talk about, the press doesn't talk about. I think if it were on the other side, it would be one of the great scandals in history. It's actually 325,000 children are missing,
wow.
Sex slaves, slaves, or dead.
Yes.
One of those four things, slaves, sex slaves, missing, or dead. And think of what 325,000, you know, we say it, it's a number, blah, blah, blah. I was talking to a reporter before. I said, 325,000. Oh, what else is new? He's going like, let's go to the next question. I'm saying to myself, can you believe it? A bad sort of a reporter. I told him he is. But think of it almost like, you know, like, let's get on with the interview. Think of what 325,000, we have religious leaders up here. Think of what 325,000. How many times can you fill a nice big stadium like a Yankee stadium with that 325,000? They're missing. I think many of them are dead. Most of them possibly are dead. It's so sad. Our country is so sad.
Now, the other thing is that if you want to dispute the number, if you want to spend time disputing the number, you're losing the argument. Sound of Freedom actor Eduardo Verastrega, may not be saying that correctly, talked to President Trump at this Latino Leaders Roundtable at his golf club in Miami. Cut number five.
Look what is happening right now. Look what is happening right now with these evil people. Obama, Hillary, Kamala, Kamala, Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, all this team. There's more than 300,000 children, over 300,000 children that they came through the border, they released them, and we don't know where they are. Kamala, where are the children? Kamala, where are the children? You know, these people, Kamala and Biden, they're the biggest human traffickers in the history. And everyone knows that. And that's why I'm here to give my 100% to support my dear friend, President Donald Trump. And again, we will win for the third time. God bless you. God bless you, Mr. President.
Very nice. Thank you.
We need to put you in the White House back again, in the beautiful White House. You're going to be in the beautiful White House again.
Now, understand this. The New York Times really, really is very, very concerned right now about how Trump is doing. That they actually went there. Concerning Kamala's McDonald's take. I'm going to get into this with you as the show goes on today. But it's amazing what the New York Times did as they wrote about the McDonald's visit. But let's talk about early voting for a second and what this means. And the reason why I'm happy right now. Well, first of all, it is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We'll be live for our next live show. And it's going to be here before you know it. So mark your calendar for December 20th for our next live show. And you can have an ocean holiday Thanksgiving this year. Let Hemingway's Restaurant do the cooking and cleaning while you enjoy the heated pool on Thanksgiving break. The kids will love it, right? Just visit GrandHotelCapeMay.com for Thanksgiving packages that they will love. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Mark Halperin, and he's had some creepy moments, but it's okay. He's a smart guy when it comes to pollsters. I just wouldn't really want him around the break room because of the whole thing that happened with the... You know, anyway, so anyway, he was talking about early voting and the trends here that are happening. And I have all these stories here about early voting trends and how they're going Trump's way. And so much so now that there's stories being written about, you know, cracks in the blue wall in Michigan and North Carolina. And I don't think either of those states should be considered blue walls, number one. Number two, you also have stories where you have, you know, Democrats are now saying, well, maybe the polls are wrong and the other way this time around. Maybe they're wrong 2016 wise, but just flipped on its head. So instead of Trump winning, it's going to be Kamala winning. And the polls are still wrong. They're just wrong the other way. Maybe. Who knows? That's why I'm not getting overly confident. I don't want to get overly confident, but there are trends to look at. And the trends are consistent. And the early voting trends are also consistent as well. So political analyst Mark Halperin said, if this early vote trend continues, Trump will win. Cut number one.
Morning, everybody. Let's lead with the lead, as they say in journalism. If the early vote numbers stay the way they are, and that's a big if, we'll almost certainly know before Election Day who's going to win the election. We're going to talk a lot about that. The reasons why Democrats might be underperforming, the prospect that they'll recover. But again, make no mistake, if these numbers hold up in the states where we can understand even partially what the data is like, we'll know that Donald Trump's going to be president on Election Day. So we're going to talk about that, but I didn't want to bury that because it's extraordinarily important. And we got to track that day to day. That's more important than the polls right now. It's more important than almost anything because it's giving us insight into a variety of factors that are accounting for a Republican overperformance by various metrics in the early voting in the battleground state.
In fact, with Election Day 2 weeks away, 15 million voters have already cast their ballots, according to the New York Times. And the Wall Street Journal did an analysis on this. And based on this, Republicans are eating into the Democrats' early voting advantage. This is why I said to you, this is nothing like 2020. This is a big deal. It really is. More than 15 million Americans have already voted as both parties scoured data for clues on turnout. And more than 15 million Americans have voted early in person or cast mail-in ballots, including 5.3 million in the 7 swing states, according to data from the University of Florida's Election Lab. In the states where voters register by party, about 47% of the early votes have been cast by Democrats, while 33% have been cast by Republicans. Battleground states such as Michigan and Georgia are not included in the breakdown by party registrations. Democrats also account for 49% of returned ballots compared with 31% for Republican voters. But this is a smaller margin than around the same time 4 years ago in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, when Democrats made up nearly 52% of returned mail-in ballots compared with only 24% for Republicans. In other words, if you look at the numbers and you say, well, the Democrats are still leading, they still have an advantage here. Yeah, but the shift is in such a way of how Republicans are casting their ballots rather than an indication, they say, of how the party is performing. In other words, don't look at it like, oh, the Democrats are winning because more Democrats have been voting early. Look at it that Republicans have shifted towards early voting in addition to the Republicans who will be voting in person on Election Day, which is a bad news story for the Democrats. In Pennsylvania, more than 580,000 Democrats have already returned their mail ballots, compared with 254,000 Republicans. Now, again, that may sound like, well, the Democrats are doing great then. But Republicans are making gains. In 2020, Republican ballots were only about, say, 25% of the total votes cast by mail in the state. So far, they're at about 27% of the total. It's actually less than 25% in 2020. It's like 23%. Now they're about 27% of the total. And so if you think about it, Republicans are now voting early, voting by mail. And yes, there's still going to be a sizable amount that vote on Election Day, but everybody's hoping that they will vote early. The trend is not that the Democrats are winning. The trend is that Republicans are finally breaking out of the mold of just voting on Election Day. So if those trends continue along with the Republicans who vote on Election Day, the Democrats are screwed. That's the analysis. That's the takeaway from all of this. So get ready to say that Trump stole the election. Yes, exactly. Former Obama advisor who talked about this sat down with Jim. This is Jim Messina, who sat down on MSNBC's Inside with Jen Psaki. And he served as White House advisor to Obama. What he's very, very worried about is that Trump is going to steal the election. They're already starting with this nonsense now. And you're going to hear a lot more of this between now and Election Day. And then if Trump wins, you'll hear it in the days after. Mark my words. Make no mistake about this. They are setting the table for this already. Cut number 7.
What's the thing that nobody's talking about, or they're not talking about enough right now, that everybody should be paying attention to and we should all have our eye on?
November 6th, everyone's talking about November 5th and who's going to win on Election Day. My worry is the day after, Jen. My worry is because you've already seen in the battleground states the Trump world filing 100 lawsuits attempting to stop early voting, stop voting locations, kick people off the rolls, changing rules in Georgia literally weeks before the election. That's a precursor to what they're going to do after the election. They're going to try to set up a way to steal this election to get some of these crazy cases to their favorite United States Supreme Court. And, you know, as a campaign manager, I used to tease our lawyers about how much I didn't like having to spend all this money on lawyers. But the truth is, setting up some of these legal battles is going to be incredibly important. We know that Trump is going to try to steal this. He did last time. And so I don't think enough attention is being paid to what's happening in these legal fights.
The polls, they're hoping, are wrong and that Kamala Harris is somehow going to pull this out. The problem is that when you do an analysis on polls, they haven't really changed that much. But let's pretend for a moment that Trump is actually right where he is, and this is a dead even race. Then you have to look at other metrics. If you don't believe that polling is accurate, if you don't believe that they can actually really determine this by polls, then you have to look at metrics like early voting, for example. You have to look at metrics like voter registration data. That's why when Scott Pressler was on the show yesterday, it matters so much. Those are the metrics you got to look at. Or what you can do if you want, and if you really want to get really nerdy about all this stuff, is you can dig into the crosstabs, which is what I like to do, and just hear what people are saying over and over again. And if people are saying they're not better off 4 years ago, but they're still voting for Kamala Harris, I don't believe them. Or maybe they'll change their mind. You know, maybe they'll just determine that Trump being the worst of the worst is not that bad. And then you got to think about what's going to be the impact when Trump goes on Joe Rogan on Friday. You know, there are a lot of libertarian minded voters out there who are not crazy about Trump, who listen to Joe Rogan's podcast, for example. And I love this exchange with Jon Stewart and Tim Walz. OK, Tim Walz goes on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart and tries to make the argument. This is amazing. Tries to make the argument that there are a lot of libertarian voters out there who will be excited about the fact that Liz Cheney is out there campaigning for Kamala Harris. I kid you not. I kid you not. He tries to make this argument to Jon Stewart. And I have it somewhere, Matt. I don't know exactly which number it is, but where do 14. I have it? What
it's
is
14.
It? 18.
14.
14.
14. 14.
Sorry. You know what it is? When the show sheet prints out in black and white, I can't really read because the highlight becomes like dark. That's it.
Oh, that's bad because the highlighter color is actually a key to our show sheet.
Maybe we'll have to do like a giant star or something.
I think the printer that we used today was just out of colored ink. That might have been the issue.
Ah, could have been the issue. That's right. Either way, we'll figure it out. Cut 14.
The Cheney thing. Do we really have to do that?
Look, it goes broader than that. Look, Bernie Sanders, Dick Cheney, Taylor Swift.
No,
having the Cheneys on board?
Nah. You can't Dick Cheney or Taylor Swift. Nah.
We're a big tent.
What country did Taylor Swift get us to invade? No.
No, don't you think, though, that... And I do this. I believe this.
Yeah.
There is still a core group of folks out there. You know, your point being, and not joke, the don't tread on me, the Reagan piece of this, the libertarian piece, but the constitutional piece.
Yes.
There are a lot of people out there. I think Liz Cheney and Dick Cheney give permission to those folks who want to find a reason to do the right thing.
The libertarians who don't want America invading countries that never attacked us. That's freaking funny, man. That's good. That is good. I gotta hand it to you, Tim Walz. Good for you. That gave me a laugh. I like that. That was warm and fuzzy on the inside. That's great. Yeah, to libertarians who don't think America should be the world's police and literally invading countries that didn't attack us. Oh, yeah, they love the Cheney thing. This is great permission to them. To people and constitutionalists who say the United States of America should not just invade countries without Congress passing a declaration of war. Yeah, those kind of constitutionalists. Oh, yeah, they're loving the Cheney thing, man. Yeah, great. That's funny. Good for you, Tim Walz. Good for you. I haven't laughed that hard in a while. Good for you. All right, listen, when it comes to your home, protection and peace of mind are paramount. That's why Emmons Roofing and Siding is your go-to contractor for roofing, siding, and windows. Your home will not only look stunning from the curb, it will also be energy efficient, secure, and ready to withstand the elements. With Emmons, you know you're getting top quality materials and the finest craftsmanship in the area. So, whether it's a durable, lifetime warranted Owens Corning roof that stands up to severe weather, siding that keeps your home insulated and looking sharp, or new windows that blend functionality with style, Emmons has you covered. And because Stephanie and Matt know that times are tough for many people, they are offering each and every one of my listeners an inflation relief discount of 10% off roofing, siding, and Anderson window replacement. So don't wait. Call Emmons today at 856- 855-885-6677. 855-885-6677. Or check out their website at emmonsroofing.com. And remember, they serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Pennsylvania's all the rage as Kamala Harris's person exposes her true intentions on fracking. We never had any doubts. Here to talk about it, you see him on CNN speaking common sense on a network that desperately needs it. He is a senior advisor volunteer to President Donald Trump. He's David Urban. How you doing, buddy? Good to have you back on the show.
Great, Rich. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Where are you right now?
I'm in New York City today.
New York City, okay.
Doing some of my day job, unfortunately. You know that volunteer part you said? I got to make some money so I can volunteer.
Yeah, that's true. Well, good for you for having a job in this economy.
But I'll be back in the Commonwealth, breaking big rocks into little rocks shortly.
I'm sure heard the story about Kamala Harris's person saying that, listen, she is who she is on fracking, and basically saying the quiet part out loud that Pennsylvania, we are going to be effed on fracking and not in a good way if she gets elected.
Yeah, well, I tend to agree with you, right? We know from her past statements, right, that's true. And, she's now the press guys are out there saying the quiet part out loud.
Yep.
Right. They're saying the quiet part out loud. We knew it always. And, they said, no. She's all about this. You know, Rich, I said this once before. She said, oh, I changed my mind on fracking after the Inflation Reduction Act, because we put all these things in place. And I said, well, that Inflation Reduction Act was signed in April of 2022. What have you been doing for the past 2 years? If you changed your mind 2 years ago, why have you been in Pennsylvania? Why have you been trying to export LNG? Why have you been doing all these things that would help people in Pennsylvania? You know, crickets.
Right.
Rich? It's a lie just like everything else.
And you know what? The fact that she said Kamala Harris will not expand fracking, that she's trying to say that any leases that came out of the quote-unquote Inflation Reduction Act, they weren't her fault, that's a clear message to the climate change kooks. Hey, you know who she is. She is not going to be a friend of this industry versus Donald Trump, who's going to not only just support fracking, but we're going to expand it.
Yeah, Rich, look, you saw Bernie Sanders on the other day. He was on the CNN network doing Tapper. And Jake asked him about all these things. Why isn't she campaigning with you? Why isn't she doing this? And Sanders basically winked and said, hey, look, she's got to run a race. You know, we know who she really is. She's got to do this and she got to do that. Listen, she's a progressive socialist, right? That's who she really is at heart. Like, you know, she's doing these roundtables with Liz Cheney of all people. Like, who cares about Liz Cheney? She's doing these roundtables in these states. It's laughable that somehow that people are going to follow Liz Cheney anywhere. But, and she's at these places and she's not laying out a vision. She's, you know, her message is Donald Trump bad. That's her message, right?
Yep.
People don't buy it, Rich. They don't buy it. She's not saying, this is how I'm going to improve your life. This is what I'm going to do to put more money in your pocket. This is what I'm going to do to, She has no plan.
Hey, listen, pal. You're in New York, but you're in New York, but you can't work blue on this show, even though you're in New York City, and you're surrounded by all the S, but you can't say it on the air. This isn't cable news, pal.
I'm used to cable. Sorry. This happened to me before with you. Sorry, I apologize.
It's all right. Don't worry about me. I don't care. It's the FCC. I mean, it's fine with me. You know, I mean, you're in New York City,
Biden,
do you
the
notice?
Biden Harris FCC will come after me. I promise you.
Oh, 100%.
You're tracking me down.
100%. I was in New York Saturday night. I was doing Fox News Saturday night with Jimmy Fallon. What I can never get over when I'm in that city is the smell of weed is everywhere in New York City. Everywhere.
Listen, it is, you notice if the streets smell like weed and urine. I will say that instead of the other words. Weed and urine everywhere. This is an example. And also downtown Philly, Rich. Look, downtown Philly, you know, I came to I'm a Pittsburgh guy originally, right? Born and raised in Pittsburgh area. But I came to Philly to go to graduate school and law school. When I got there, Ed Rendell just taken over as mayor and was kind of scrub. Remember Ed Rendell on his hands and knees in City Hall, scrubbing the toilets and bringing the city back and making it a great place? You go to downtown Philly now, and it's a shell of the place it used to be.
Yep.
Same as this city. It is a shell of the place it used to be. And Donald Trump has said, he said it in Detroit. He said it repeatedly. Look, I want to make everything in America great. I want to bring the cities back. I want people to prosper everywhere. That's a great vision. That's a great vision. And listen, I believe the guy.
100%. And you should believe him, because when these people show you who they are, David Urban, we have to believe them. That we have to. And
look, the people in Bucks County and Feasterville believe him. You see that line of folks on the road there waiting to see the mm-hmm. president, former president, is incredible, right? People don't understand, Rich. They say, well, do you think he's going to win? I said, listen, I've done this. This is my third go round on this one, right? In 16, felt good. Didn't feel this good, right? 20, didn't feel good at all. We're in the middle of a pandemic for 4 years. You know, if you turn on the television today, you turn on CNN, if you turn on any of the big networks, right, the message is Trump bad. That's the message you get 24/7 on the major networks. But, as I told the former president in 20, they had 4 years. There was 4 years of that messaging, right? Trump bad, Trump bad, Trump bad. And the pandemic. So 20 was a tough race. This race, completely different. People seen through the BS of this past 4 years. Biden said he's going to come in and govern as a centrist and do things, and gets in and, you know, governs as a crazy progressive, right? You got men in girls' locker rooms. You got illegal immigrants pouring across the border at record numbers into the cities, driving down the standard of living for people in the cities, driving up the cost for people everywhere. Crime is rampant, in the cities. People point to statistics. Well, guess what? Then they forget to mention, the FBI just had to recorrect their statistics because they screwed up. We created the Biden administration says they create all these jobs. Bureau of Labor Statistics had to just downwardly estimate their estimates for 1 million jobs last year because they're fudging the numbers. So people see past that. This 24 election, Rich, is something different. I'm telling you. I know the polls say it's going to be this super close race, and I want everyone to think it's close because I want everyone to show up in Pennsylvania, show up and vote. Go vote early if you can. Bank those votes. Super important. But we need this win. Our country needs this win. People can't sit at home. Grab your neighbors, your grandparents, your nieces, your nephews. If you can, voting age. Unfortunately, you can't register them to vote after yesterday. But if they're registered to vote, now we got to get everyone out to vote.
David Urban's with me. It's great to have him on the show. We're talking Pennsylvania. He's a guy who knows the state better than anybody, so I appreciate his time. I thought the McDonald's thing was great. And, it's funny how the left goes, this was a planned political stunt. First of all, what do they expect? You're just going to walk into a random McDonald's and just start literally working there as an employee?
A couple things, Rich. Now, you can do OTRs. The president does those off-the-record stops, right?
Sure.
And he does that. He frequently does it. But that was before somebody tried to kill him twice, right?
Right, right.
The equation has changed dramatically since somebody shot him in the head and another guy was laying in wait in the bushes. The Secret Service is a little bit more sketchy about that now. And then the second part is, your point is correct, can't just walk in. You can imagine Donald Trump walk into McDonald's, somebody said, hey, I want to go work the fry machine.
Yeah.
They would freak out.
I mean, I can't do that. I can't walk into McDonald's and just go, I just go work the fry machine? I mean, you have to apply for a job.
There was a little coordination. And listen, every political event is staged. I don't know what people are thinking. Like, what do you think, that the hunting scene, they just happened to, a camera crew just happened to come across a field where Governor Walz was out hunting? I mean, give me a break. It's a joke.
And that was staged badly partial. Since he was loading the shotgun with his crotch, but,
He couldn't even do it, Rich. I have that same gun. He can't do it. He's the guy's a joke. The whole thing's a joke, right? I have that same shotgun, exact same shotgun. And, I'd show you 2 seconds, you could load it, you learn how to load it. This guy clearly says, I'm a hunter, I've been around guns. I mean, it's embarrassing. It is literally, I feel bad for the guy. He's so bad.
Yeah. Well,
every time he opens his mouth, he screws up.
You should feel bad for the guy. But then again, let's think about this, right? So Trump's going to go on Joe Rogan's podcast on Monday, which has a huge, huge listener base of dudes. To appeal to men, they sent Tim Walz goes on The View, David Urban, which if you're watching The View as a man, you should have to turn in your man card, and you probably lost your genitals a long time ago.
Listen, I'm just going to say, I don't know any man.
No.
I've never seen an episode of The View, not one. Have you?
Never in my life. And if I'm at a place that has it on TV, I immediately put my AirPods in and listen to something else.
I've never seen it. I just have never seen it. I can't even, couldn't even turn it off because I've never seen it. So, you know, just unfortunate.
That's his appeal to men, to go on The View.
Well, listen, they're definitely going soft beta males, right? They have, you know, Greg Emhoff out there, right? I mean, look at, none of these guys, you know, none of these guys are going down to Flyers game and drinking a Frosty, right? They're not, I'll just leave it at that, right? I mean, you would not want Doug Emhoff or Tim Walz to have to be, you know, having your back in a dark alley. It's kind of my feeling.
Agree with you 100% about that. David Urban, let me ask you about Western PA. And I mean, everybody in the media talks about the Philadelphia, the collar counties, Pittsburgh. Selena Zito made a great point today. She said, you know, let's not forget about all the other parts. And then there are a lot of Catholic voters in Pennsylvania. I mean, you know this well, being our inspector's chief of staff. There are a lot of Catholic voters in the Commonwealth.
And being a Catholic guy from Pittsburgh.
Right. Being a Catholic guy from Pittsburgh. She's got a Catholic problem in the state of Pennsylvania that nobody's talking about.
Listen, it's completely, you know, I get a lot of grief from this. People like, oh, I said this on CNN the other day, or maybe I said it again today, actually this morning. And people said, I'm Catholic. I didn't take offense. I didn't take offense to the communion skit. I didn't take offense that she didn't go to the Al Smith dinner. I said, well, listen, why don't I take you to a few parishes in Western Pennsylvania and Beaver County? Let you see what it's like. Let you hear from the people I hear from, my friends. You know, they'll tell you she's got a problem.
Yeah,
she's got a problem. She's got a Catholic problem. She's got a Jewish problem. That ad from the RJC, right? I don't know if you've been seeing it been running, where the Jewish moms are sitting in Jaime's.
Oh, Jaime's. I was going to say, yeah. poor our buddy Lou Barson. I mean, poor Lou getting beat up over this. The fact that they shot a commercial there.
Well, everyone who's listening to your station should go there. And eat, get breakfast,
yes.
get some food, right?
They have the best matzo balls. I'm telling you, their soup, their chicken noodle soup.
It's a great place. But you see that ad? It's a great ad.
Yeah.
And it's true. So she's got a Catholic problem. She's got a Jewish problem. She's got a Muslim problem. Jeez, what's the theme here? Everybody doesn't like her.
Hey, let me play that ad for you real quick. This was shot in Jaime's Deli. It's a great. I've been there a million times. David Urban's been there. Everybody's been there. The owner's a great guy, Lou Barson. Cut 13. Take a listen.
Did you watch the news lately? Israel's under attack. Anti-Semitism like I never thought I would see.
Did you read about Samantha's boy, Max?
No.
He got spit on just walking at Penn.
I mean, that's scary.
What about Kamala?
Busy defending the squad.
You know, Trump I never cared for, but at least he'll keep us safe.
Mm-hmm. I never voted Republican in my life, but I am voting Trump.
Amen. RJC Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this message.
Now, none of those ladies got up to take advantage of the pickle bar. It's your only mistake.
Listen, how many times do you think that conversation's taken place?
Yep.
I'm guessing more than people want to admit, right? If people say, oh, they're shy. There are so many shy Harris voters. This is what Liz Cheney's saying. I'm giving people permission because I know there's a lot of shy. There's no shy Kamala Harris voters. Nobody wants to vote for that woman.
No.
There's no shy. Can you imagine if you say you're voting for Donald Trump, you get beaten with a cudgel. That's how bad. So there are plenty of shy Donald Trump voters. They're not a lot of shy. Neither are people like that taking place. Those conversations are taking place, I guarantee you, in many places, in many quarters, in Lower Marion, Narberth, Ardmore, right? Marion, Township, like lots of places.
Yeah, you know, I make jokes about the Main Line a lot, but there are a lot of very sensible people on the Main Line. And the thing about it is, I love the one woman who goes, you know, I never cared for Trump, but I'm voting for him. I think there's a lot of people out there who are like that. They're like, well, maybe I don't like his tweets, or maybe I don't, you know, whatever. That's fine. But they know things were better under him, and they see how freaking crazy the left is today. But their entire message, the entire message against Trump is still this, you know, he's a threat to democracy. David Urban, you're a guy who knows history. Do you remember when Stalin was handing out French fries at McDonald's? You see, I missed that part of history class.
Yeah, Donald Trump is not a threat to democracy. They may not like what he says. They may think he's crude, he's crass. You know, this thing that Donald Trump led an insurrection. Donald Trump didn't lead an insurrection. There was a riot at the Capitol, right? And Rich, I would say this. My mom, I believe in personal responsibility, right? So if you're a 50-year-old man or a 40-year-old man and you decided to march to the Capitol and break a window, you should go to jail, or punch a police officer, you should go to jail. Nobody, if I told my mom, hey, mom, I punched a police officer in the face, but Donald Trump made me do it, my mom would kick my butt. You think that it's a joke? You're responsible. Donald Trump's not responsible for any of that stuff. He said, listen, we're going to assemble here, go up, march to the Capitol peacefully, let your voices be heard, right? I mean, that's in the first, that's, you know, you have a constitutional right to redress grievances, to peacefully assemble. That's protected in the First Amendment. Not quite sure what he did was treasonous or was, you know, a threat to democracy, like he's saying. By the way, there's nothing magic about January 6th. The Congress could have gaveled out. They could have all gone home. They could have waited for the police to deal with those crazy people. And they could have come back the next day and done the same thing. It's not like it's magic and something's going to change there. So, you know, do I think Donald Trump is responsible for that? No. Would I like to see, I'd like to see him speak out more forcefully? Probably. I think that's a big thing he could have done. But, you know, he's not a threat to democracy, people. You know what's a threat to democracy? The Biden administration's censorship of search terms during COVID, so that you couldn't look up ivermectin or you couldn't question the jab. You couldn't do any of that stuff. You were precluded from doing that because big tech censored what you could see and what you could look up and what you could think. That's a threat to democracy.
Listen, buddy, I got to take a break, but I appreciate your time today. Enjoy New York City. Try not to get high from the fumes. Follow David Urban on X at David J. Urban and watch him on CNN. And we'll talk to you again soon, brother. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Rich. Thanks for having me.
You got it.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
They're yelling at me to take a break. All right, listen, security and, well, first of all, the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Named a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. Schedule your free implant consultation today at 856-786-2020. And security and safety, a top priority for every business owner. Look no further than my friend Tom McCausland and McCausland Lock and Alarm to secure your facilities. They'll help you control access. That means a state-of-the-art key card system so you determine who gets where in your facility. That's so important as we talk about crime everywhere in this day and age. An incredible camera system so that you can keep an eye on everything. You know, a lot of companies can sell you these things, but there's only one Tom McCausland. His wealth of knowledge and experience allow McCausland to effectively protect all types of facilities, no matter what the environment. And just as important, their customer service is unmatched. When you need assistance, you're going to talk to a local expert, probably Tom himself. You're never going to be stuck in a voice message system not knowing what number to push. So if you're serious about protecting your facilities, and you should be, you need to seriously consider McCausland Lock and Alarm. Call Tom today at 610-430-1500. 610-430-1500. McCausland Lock and Alarm. Securing your business. Securing your future.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.